Good morning. How are you? You're looking good. I have a very, very simple message this morning. And yet it's probably been one of the most difficult things for me in my life to live out, in my daily life. So I thought we would maybe ask Dr. Seuss to help us out, explain something simple, and go on from there. See how that goes. If you could get that PowerPoint up. And as I read this, I invite you to pay attention because it clearly relates to what I want to talk about this morning. This is from a book, On Beyond Zebra, I think it's called, one of his famous novels. It said, Conrad Cornelius O'Donnell Odell, my very young friend who was learning to spell. The A is for ape. The B is for bear, the C is for camel, and the H is for hare. The M is for mouse, the R is for rat. I know all 26 letters like that. Through to Z is for zebra, I know them all well, said Conrad Cornelius O'Donnell Odell. Now I know everything anyone knows from beginning to end, from the start to the close, because Z is as far as the alphabet goes. Then he almost fell flat on his face on the floor when I picked up the chalk and drew one letter more, a letter he had never dreamed of before. And I said, you can stop if you want with the Z. Most people stop with the Z, but not me. In the places I go, there are things that I see that I never could spell if I stopped with the Z. I'm telling you this because you're one of my friends. My alphabet starts where your alphabet ends. My alphabet starts with the letter called Yez. It's the letter I use to spell Yezometez. You'll be sort of surprised that there is to be found once you go beyond Z and start poking around. So on beyond zebra, explore like Columbus, discover new letters like Wum, which is for Wumbus, my high-spouting whale who lives high on a hill who never comes down until it's time to refill. So on beyond Z, it's high time you were shown that you really don't know all there is to be known. That's for me, and it's for you. Today is the second of Advent, and Advent, and the whole Christian life for that matter, is intended to be a journey. It's a journey on beyond Z, because only when we go beyond our human understanding, our human thinking, our human religion, like we sung this morning, that we discover what Christmas is all about, that we discover what true life is, what hope and joy and life are. After we have tasted of the gift that he offers on beyond Z, we know that life cannot be so easily contained. And I touched on this verse a couple weeks ago, and it's kind of been continuing to percolate inside, so I felt I had to share more. For to us, I'm going to break it down a little bit this morning, a child is born. That's why we're here. Did you know that? To us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. This text was referring to Jesus coming as the Messiah, about his future government that will increase throughout all eternity. And it says that the government will be upon his shoulders. It says he's wonderful. If he is wonderful, it's going to be good government. It says he's counselor. He's your friend. He's your guide. He's going to show you the way. He's the everlasting father. He's going to care for you along the journey. He's going to nurture your heart. And he's the prince of peace. It means he's going to put things in order, and there's going to be rest. When we read these verses, it's easy to think about what he will do. What's coming? What's out there? What's beyond? But it's not about what's beyond. It's here and it's now. This is not just a prophecy for the future. It's for you. Right now, today, with what you're going through. It's the reality of your life, if you allow it to be. He has been born, and the government is on his shoulders now. Have you ever dreamed of having something? Something out there, and you've maybe even worked really hard to get it, saved up your money, whatever it might be. But then when it's given to you freely, when you can have it, you hesitate. Not so sure now. Have you ever been called to step out beyond Z? But when the time comes, you hesitate. You see, I'm quite familiar with A to Z. I know the letters, I know the sounds they make. I know the words that can be spelled with them. It's safe. It's predictable. Maybe it's like the girl who wants to get married. She dreams of marriage, and then the guy says, sure, I'll marry you. I'm not so sure anymore. I think about that a little bit. God is inviting us to step beyond thee into a whole new realm, to experience more abundantly than we have known. And yet there is a very real tension between the desire to go with him into the unknown adventure and the desire for security within us. Some years ago, my father had the opportunity to speak with a man named Joseph Carroll. I don't know how many of you have heard of Joseph Carroll. He was a fairly prominent Christian leader decades ago in the States. And in their conversation, he started sharing. And he started sharing about this lady that he knew, who was a missionary to China, and she had been there for some 50 years. And they shared with my dad, he said, you know, I've been around some of the most prominent Christian leaders in this country. I rubbed shoulders with them, done life together with them. But she said, this is the most unusual Christian I've ever encountered. Her alphabet definitely did not end with Z. And he said, as I talked to her and spent time with her, I discovered that there was one thing that could be pointed back to in her life. It was a little bit of the secret, if you will, of why she was the way she was and did the things she did. And it had to do with that when she was a young girl, she had decided that Isaiah 9:6 was going to be her life verse. And she looked upon it and she said, if this is who Jesus is, if this is who he is, I am going to give him complete government of my life. I'm going to take it off my shoulders and I'm going to put it on his. And I'm going to leave it there because he is wonderful. He is my counselor. He is my father. And there will be peace in that place. So I just want to go through a little bit this morning with you. Break some of this down a little bit. Make it hopefully more tangible and a reality in our life. And the first thing we need to understand, I think, is what does it mean for the government to be upon his shoulders. And I've just put down 3 observations about government. First one is that government has authority. One thing that we recognize right away when we talk about government is it has authority. In our country, we elect our government. It's an elected leadership. But there's no doubt they have authority, and they've been given authority in order to act. Second one is government has responsibility. Government has responsibility to do things, to make choices that are for the good of the people, to initiate programs that are for the good of the country. It has a responsibility to act, to get things accomplished. And if it does not, it's a failure. It's not a good government. Government orders the details. Do you know this? Have you tried to build a house? Tried to build a road? Government makes laws. It orders the details. It's in charge of policing. It's in charge of new roads, schools, hospitals. So the government orders our details, orders details that affect and help our lives. Back to this woman, this unusual woman. Now this woman sought to remember that the Lord was worthy of authority. But then she also chose to give him the authority in her life. We talked about that. And I just want to read that. If we do not give Christ authority in our life, we will miss out on him taking authority. This is a very important reality. It might seem a little dry, but this is an extremely important reality. If you do not give him the government in your life, you will miss out on him taking the government. You don't want that. Because it means the government will be left on your shoulders. And it's a terrible burden to carry. I just got to share this real quick. So yesterday, I'm getting ready for my sermon, running around in the city, doing different things, and then the boys are in charge of cleaning the house, and the central vacuum isn't working. It's got no suction. And not really a big deal, but I want to get this thing fixed so the house can be cleaned, and then I want to go back to preparing for my sermon. You know, I got things to do. Got to make this good. So I try this and I try that, and it's not getting better, and I'm not figuring out what's going on, and I'm starting to get frustrated. Have you ever been there? There's something twitching inside that shouldn't be twitching. And then it dawns on me. It's a vacuum. Isn't that a revelation? It's a vacuum. And I say, Jesus, it's a vacuum. And he goes, yeah, that's right, it's a vacuum. And I say, Lord, would you take this responsibility? Would you take the authority here? And you know what? He said, yeah, I'll do that. And it was just like, whew, that frustration was gone. The anger was gone. And I could just walk on in peace. And it was good again. Such a little thing. Such a little thing. But how good is that? Secondly, we can count on him once we've given him the authority to take the responsibility. Wow. You see, when we're in authority, we hold the responsibility. And anyone who's held the position of authority, been in leadership, knows the burden that comes along with that. And if you think you don't know, if you're a parent, you know. You know. You are responsible for your children, for their physical needs, for spiritual needs. And she realized that he can be counted on to take the responsibility. And she was free. That's a hard one to get your brain around. You're not responsible for your children. You're a steward, but there's someone else who's ultimately responsible. Finally, she trusted God to order the details. She committed to faithfully serve him, live in his presence each day, and leave the ordering of the details where they belong. You know, under self-government, we live in an illusion of security. It's not true security. And it manifests itself by us seeking to remain in control. I tell you, that control will come to an end. And when it does come to an end, you'll be left with anger, frustration, despair, disappointment. That's the end game of that. Think about it. Have you ever taken charge? I'm going to get this thing done. How did that end up for you? Look around the world. Government running in their own human wisdom instead of submitting to God's. Where does that get us? You see, if we limit God to what we only can wrap our heads around, what we can understand, we sang about it this morning, to be free from it, we create our own little box. And I mean little box. What can happen, what cannot happen. What is good, what is bad. It's all in our box. And we only acknowledge him and his ideas when they fit in to what we can handle. So God, be in here. Now I'll listen. Now I'll acknowledge. But we refuse to participate and join him if it's outside of our box. Let me just tell you, when you're in that place, when you've settled for that place, you're doomed to serve the God of your own understanding. And you have effectually set yourself up as king of your life. The government is yours. When I will only pray, this is a journey for me, if someone is healed. When I refuse to pray because I once did and I did not see anything to happen. When I will only give love if it's going to be reciprocated. I've set myself up as the king of my life. And I've chosen to be the authority. And I carry the responsibility for the outcome. You get that? I'm authority. I now carry the responsibility for outcome, so I have to order the details in order to bring about the desired outcome. How stupid is that? I don't want to live there. Under his government, we no longer carry that burden. We recognize that actually this unknown, this tension I talked about, and the security all flow together under his government. They're in harmony because he is security. You get that? He is security. And it flows together beautifully if we just will walk with him. All things, he knows the outcome. Are we tracking? Is this good? Okay. So, when your car breaks down and you have an important meeting to be to, let's get practical, and it's not working out the way you decided it's supposed to work out, and you start getting angry and frustrating, what are you going to do? You can swear and curse and start pouting, or you can join God. You can join God in the adventure he has for you. and trust him that he's got something good happening. Is he trustworthy? He knows where he's going. There might be an adventure for you in store. He knows the circumstances. And you know what? He's a God that only does wondrous things. Here's a good one for you. Psalm 72:18. Blessed be the Lord God who only does wondrous things. Guys, never try to figure out or anticipate what God is going to do. He might not do what you want him to do. He might not do what you think he should do. But he only does wondrous things. Will you trust him with that? Will you join him in that? Here's another one for you. Be aware of the fact that as far as the Lord's government extends in your heart, thus far will extend his peace. There's a little check there. Those things start rising up. Those things start twitching. As far as the Lord's government extends in your heart, thus far will extend his peace. And my guess is that thus far will extend his joy. Thus far will extend his hope. Without a realization of Isaiah 9:6, we are left with reality that something went terribly wrong, and now it's up to you to get it together, keep it together, and you will succeed based on your hard work, your wisdom, and your ability. Now, I'm only going to be repeating myself for the rest of the sermon. So if that's a hiccup for you, get over it. This is not something that you need to be taught more on. This is something that needs to travel to your heart. It's a simple message to understand. The good news, hear this, is it's not up to you. It never was. The question is, will you be faithful? Will you be obedient to pray when he guides you to pray? To surrender the outcome to him? To not care about what you look like or feel like? And say, God, you take the government, and I will trust you for the rest. Maybe when your car breaks down, he has an adventure for you, and he wants to share something with the heart of the tow truck driver. Just maybe. Will you be prepared for that? Will you be in a place to receive that and a place to hear that? If the government is his shoulders, he is king. You go, you trust, you obey, you pray. That's it. Done. One thing is required of Christ's servants, and that is that they remain faithful to their master. 1 Corinthians, one thing, that's it. Nothing more, nothing less. You see, we think all our problems are external, and I want to tell you, nothing is external. All our problems are problems of the heart. And the unsurrendered heart will manifest strife. That's an important statement. The unsurrendered heart will manifest strife. It has nothing to do with what's going on around you. It's here. But when you're correctly aligned to the head and have given him the government, everything else flows, and you will be amazed at what transpires externally. Absolutely amazed. So Kevin Penner was here last week, challenging us, inviting us in. We had Irene and Domingo Garcia here a few weeks back. They were the family that took in all those foster kids, challenging us. beyond what we can handle. And I don't know if you listened or heard what I heard, but I heard one thing that wasn't common, because there was no way I could do either of those things. But I heard Kevin talk about it, I heard Irene and Domingo talk about it, and that was their time with Jesus. In the closet, in the prayer room, early in the morning, before anything else started, they had time with Jesus. Consistent time with him. The truth is, and this is a good one too, you can only find what you're looking for. You can only find what you're looking for. So you have to be very clear about what you're looking for. Are you looking for security? Looking for health? Are you looking for provision? Are you looking for answers for your marriage? For your business problems? Stop. I'm telling you right now, stop. You have to recognize that what you're looking for is Jesus. He is the healer. He is the provider. He is your security. So you wonder, why am I sharing this with you this morning? And it's very simple. Because I'm the guy with the broken down car. I'm sitting in the Costco parking lot, not long ago, waiting for the tow truck driver. I'm the guy who prayed for my parents to be healed when they had cancer, and they were not. And I'm not sure if I want to do it again. I'm the guy who struggles to trust God in the day-by-day practical details of my life. And over go back to taking the government that doesn't belong on my shoulders back on my shoulders. That's me. And I know you well enough to know it's you too. But yet I have tasted of his goodness. I have seen his glory. I've seen his healing touch on people. And I will not settle. I cannot settle for living between A and Z. I've had conversations with many of you about desiring the full life, experiencing all God has to offer. And I just want to say this very simply, without much fanfare today. It will require a change in government. It's not very complicated. If we continue to do things the way we always have, we'll get the same results. The answer is not in a new model, a new program. It won't be found in a new book. He is our guide, and only by submitting to him and flowing with him will we end up where we want to go. And it will require a change in government. So, ushers, can you help me out here? We've got a stack of cards, and we got a bunch of pencils, and if you could just pass those out, a few to each row, so they can pass them all down so everyone gets a card and a pencil. That's great. And then if we can also have the two communion tables, you can just kind of pull that one in, and we'll pull this one in so people can walk on either side of them. I'm going to invite you to respond to what I've shared this morning. As they're handing those out, I just want to maybe touch on a few more things. You know, I decided many, many years ago that I wanted to follow God. That was settled conclusively 30 plus years ago. I want to follow him. I want to be a servant. I want to know him. But this whole bit of walking it out has been a struggle. And it's a continual struggle. But it's one that I'm growing in and I'm learning in. I remember my second year as a pastor. I started as a pastor right away in the fall, so I didn't have much time to think about it. I just went into it. But my second year, I had all summer to think about it. And oh, the pressure I felt to figure out what would be best for the church, how to feed the people, how to disciple them, how to get it all working. Guys, I had so much self-imposed pressure that summer, I burst my appendix. And I have no doubt it was because of the stress. And get this, it was stress of bearing a burden that I was never intended to bear. It was too heavy for me. It could not be done. There's a better way. What if it's not my responsibility how it goes this morning? Isn't that freedom? What if I don't have to have it all together in my sermon? It's really not my responsibility, guys. What freedom? Oh, I remember having to take a nap every Sunday afternoon after my sermon because I was so wiped out, had worked so hard to get it right. I still might take a nap, but it won't be for that reason. So I simply want to invite you, ask the question in your own heart this morning. Is it time for a change in government? Is it time for a change in government? Would you be willing this morning to say, God, I give you the problems, and I want to trust you for the details. And on those index cards, if you want to just write down whatever the Lord leads you to write down, a statement of affirmation, of confirmation, to that he has the government in your life, if there's something you want to write down and surrender to him, a prayer to him, I just invite you. Take this time. I'm going to play a couple songs, hear from him, and then there's a cross up here. For you who are sitting on that far side, you may not be able to see it. It's behind the Christmas tree, but there's a cross up here with two baskets. And I invite you to physically bring that piece of paper up and lay it down in a basket as a symbol of laying things down before the feet of Jesus and allowing it to rest on his shoulders instead of yours. Just give it to him. And then, as these songs play, we're going to go into a time of communion. I'm not going to break between laying down the cards and having communion. That can flow. You can go up at any time to lay down a card. You can go up at any time for communion. You can just file by here. There's a table there at the front. There's a table at the back. If you run out of one place, go to the next table. I'm sure there's enough at both tables. And as the Holy Spirit leads you, if you want to share communion with someone else, if he puts it upon your heart to go up to someone, exchange, speak life into them, pray with them. If you need some time to just sit alone and hear from God what he has to say about you, just want to open up freely. We have two songs we're going to play, and by then it should be around 12 o'clock, and we'll call it a day. Bless you.
Lord, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart.
Where you are, Lord, I
And when I cannot stand, I fall. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I fall. Jesus, you're my hope. Shine, shine, shine. Take this life.